just a blessing from on high. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. Let's see if I can get this button here turned on. Is that it? Is that it right there? All right, good. Take your Bible, if you will, please, and we'll be looking there tonight in the book of 2 Chronicles in chapter number 7. 2 Chronicles in chapter number 7. And as we look there in the chapter that's there, we'll notice in about verse number 1, if you're able to stand, we'll look there in the passage there. And when Solomon had made an end of praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. But that must have been some sight to behold. Verse 5, and King Solomon offered a sacrifice, 22,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep. And so the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And then over there, if you will, please, in verse 12. The Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and he said unto him, I've heard thy prayer, and I've chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. And if I shut up heaven and there be no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever and that mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, that if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and thou shalt observe my Sabbaths and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according to as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for the privilege to be able to come together like this. Thank you, Lord, for the good music, for the good singing, for the good talent you've given us. And others, Lord, we praise you and thank you that thou art God. Beside thee, there's none else. Now bless the word to every heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. You know, we've gone through a phase or two in this country that's here. And everywhere that you go, you know, they got these crosses that are now, you know, all over the cemetery, all over people's front yards, and they've got them there. You know, you can go over there at Shrimp Boat Manny's. If you've never been, you can allow three. I didn't get them, but you're allowed three crosses that are made, and somebody's making them, and they're free. They're for free. They're not. No, there's no charge whatsoever. And when you look into it, you'll find some places, you know, prayer is enough. Prayer is the big thing, and prayer is all that. And so the question that I'm asking you tonight, is prayer going to be enough? Do you realize we live in a world that likes a little praying, but they don't like preaching? Now, you know why, don't you? Here's the difference. When a person's praying, they're letting God know what they want. When a person's preaching, God's letting them know what he wants. See the difference? I got to say to you that, if you will, that we'll find that we live in a day, and the signs of the time is that all over the country, and regardless if they're in the front door of somebody's house or a church house or wherever they're at, up and down the highway sites and so forth and on, I got to say to you, God does not listen to and God does not answer every prayer. Did you know that the Bible said that if you don't hear the word of the Lord, your prayer will be an abomination unto God? God said the only reason why he would hear us if we were obedient unto him. I got to tell you right now, is that in the day and hour that we're living in, and we call upon everybody that we know, every dopehead, beer drinker, fornicator, adulterer, and idolater, and so forth and on, when we got really a petition to present before God, and we want to get all the world in on it. If you know how to pray, I mean, at least do something. Can you? I don't pray good. Well, can you throw salt over your shoulder? We'll just take anything comes along. You know, if God did answer our prayer and God did do a miracle, Who are you going to give credit to? That apostate, reprobate bunch that never darkens hardly the house of God, the door of the house of God? See that? See how messed up and sick that is? In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that the Bible said in 1 Timothy in chapter number 2 and about verse 1 and 2, you and I, that we're to pray for all men, especially those that are in office and those that are kings and people like that. And we're to be able to pray for them and to pray that God will give them direction and lead us and guide us and direct us therein. I want to say to you that we're to pray for kings and those that are in authority. And let me say to you that God, it's not a guessing game. He'll tell you exactly what you're to be doing. You know, in the day and hour that we're living in, there's people that'll pray, well, we don't want the church to have anything to do with the state and the state to do with the church. You know, and they go to talking about the separation of church and state. Do you know that our forefathers, the reason they put that in there, it was not so that the church didn't have any right to say anything and influence the state. It was put to protect the church from the corruption of the state. And that's the reason why it was put that way in our Constitution. In this lesson, let me say to you that, if you will, is that you'll find the next time that we preach, and we ought to realize that, though, that it's a privilege to be able to represent God. And as a result of that, you'll find out that we live in a world in a day and an hour, and they'd like to be able to do whatever they do for advantage sake. In other words, they think they're going to dangle something over here in the eyes of a religious sinner and then sneak something in for advantage sake for themselves. I got to tell you, it doesn't work that way, but let me tell you what prayer does. Did you notice in the passage that we've read tonight, that Bible said there that if my people, we're talking about saved people. Now, if you're one of his people, he's talking to you. If you've been washed by the blood, born into the family of God, then you're one of my people. If my people, which are called by my name. Now, I'll tell you what, if you're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, been saved, and you've got the righteousness of God running in your heart and your soul and your mind, I got to tell you right now, whenever he says, my people, here's the question, are you one of them? Are you one of them? And you're saying, well, now, what's he talking about there? Well, I tell you, he's talking about prayer involving his people, those that are redeemed, those that are righteous, those that have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. And I want to tell you something, is that he said that if my people which are called by my name, that's the name that's above every name. In fact, it is in 2 Timothy in chapter number 2 and about verse number 19, do you realize and know that the Bible talks about those that are his? And the Bible talks about in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, it's in verse number 19, listen to what he said. Nevertheless, the foundation of God, excuse me, standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. If you're a child of God, he knows it tonight. And he let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's how you can tell the marks of a child of God. They're departing from iniquity. These are people that are separated, saved, separated, and involved in the work of God in obedience unto the Lord. If my people, the Bible said, will humble themselves and pray. Did you ever notice how hard that it is to really get down to quality praying? Now, I realize, though, that we're all busy as beavers and so forth and on and all that, but I'm just talking about every now and again, do you ever just get so sick of yourself and sick of your sin that you just stop for a minute and say, Lord, help me stop and get my attention on you and to be able to look to you, the author and finisher of our faith? I got to say to you that, if you will, the Bible said, if my people which are called my name shall humble themselves and pray. If you're going to be able to humble yourself, you're going to have to do a little examination. And if you do a little examination, you're going to have to acknowledge where you're guilty. And as that conviction is upon us, we're going to have to do some confession. I want to say to you that, if you will, that we live in a day and an hour in a world where then that somehow or another, we've got laws, you know, that protect criminals. And as a result of that, you know, they're trying to pass more laws to be able to make it a little easier for them. What we need is not more laws that we can't follow or obey. What we need is just simply to get back down to the basics with the Lord and the word of the Lord, and to be able to have the fear of God in our heart and our life and our mind. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that if you'll humble yourselves and you'll pray, that's what he said, if you'll pray. It's a matter of salvation, separation, supplication. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Now, let me tell you what he is and what he's doing and where he is. He's down at the house of God. And you'll find that while he's down there at the house of God, you'll find that there has been a great sacrifice that's been offered by the thousands, if you will, please. And as a result of that, you're going to find is that the house of God is going to be the house of prayer that God has mentioned that's in the Bible. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out Jesus, remember when he went into the house of God? They were doing a whole lot less going on in the day we live in. He went down there and they were buying and selling down there at the house of God. Not only were they buying and they were selling, but he was angered, went in there, turned over the money changers, took a scourge of cords and whipped those that were buying and selling and those that were in the house of God and whipped them out of there and said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And you've made it a den of thieves. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into it, you find out is that we've already got plenty of laws that are on the books and too many criminals that are now trying to be identified with the Church of the Living God. And let me say to you, nobody wants to be responsible for being guilty in the day and hour that we're living in. I was thinking about when we look here into this Bible passages, when we're beginning to look, you'll find is that used to years ago, you know, churches across the country and several of them, and they had a wave of it going. And they said, you know, they'd preach on the subject, Mama, come home. Because Mama wasn't home. She was working. Then they had to change it to Mama, come home at 5:30 when you get off work. Now, in the Bible, as you begin to look into that over there in the book of Titus, and as you begin to see that, he tells you what a woman's place is in the home and so forth in the home, and how that she's to be a good keeper of the house and of the home. But we live in a world going to hell in a handbasket because the home's been abandoned. Yes, sir. Now, here's the thing with all these girls, and I look at because I ask God a whole lot. You're not going to believe it. There's a few things I don't know that I ask God about. I've not run upon anything that he doesn't know. But the Bible does say that over in Titus there concerning these single women. He doesn't say anything about it, what they can or cannot do, but he does say that whatever you're doing to prepare in life, you had be better be preparing so when you're married and have a husband that you learn to be a keeper at home. So I don't know exactly where that line's going to be drawn. God knows it, but I do know there's a caution there. And let me say to you that when you begin to look into it, you find is that as a result of that, I had a preacher tell me one time, said, well, you know, and I preached that all my life. And he said, but, you know, now, he said, I'm wondering if maybe it's all right for them to work some. I'll hold it a minute. I said, hold on a minute. Well, long as you don't have kids at all. I said, well, that ain't what it said. It didn't say nothing about no kids at home. It did say something about a husband. It does say that, does say something about a responsibility, but it does not say anything about when your kids are grown, especially if your kids are not grown, stay at home. It didn't say that at all. What it does say that when you begin to look into it is that you'll find that at the house of God, he said, my house is going to be called a house of prayer. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at here tonight is that you're going to find out that we reasonably don't have to wonder why that we don't have revival because we've gotten so far away from God as a nation. And I don't care if it's Independent Baptist, Southern Baptist, Missionary Baptist, or whatever that it is, but you're going to find that it's sad. That's just sad. Listen, we've lost our shout because we got away from the Bible. And when you look into the Bible, you begin to recognize and you begin to realize is that God gets angered at people that are praying that have no regard for his word and what's good, right, moral, and decent. Over there in the book of Psalm, don't turn there, chapter 8 and about verse 4, you'll find that God is saying against the prayer of the people, and he's angry against the prayer of him. In the book of Psalms 109, the Bible talked about if a person's not going to be obedient to the Lord, let his prayer become sin. Over there in the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, verse number 8, also verse number 29, he mentions the prayer of the wicked. I mean, even the wicked are praying. And then he also mentions the prayer of the righteous. Two different things. Over in Proverbs in 28, verse number 9, the Bible said that if a person stops his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination unto God. Now, in the day and hour that we're living in, we're simply prone to or geared to believing that God's at our beck and call. But he is not. He is not. I'm glad that he allows us to pray, and I'm glad that we can certainly be if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'm glad God does that. But I want to say to you that, if you will, we live in a world that likes praying, but they don't want any preaching. There's a passage over there in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 7, verse number 13 down through 16. And he talks about those that refuse to hear preaching. They finally get beyond the reach of prayer. How'd you like God to say this about you or your house or your loved ones or your church or anybody? How'd you like God to say, don't pray for this people at all. I will not hear thee in their behalf. And yet that's what he did with Israel. Reason being is because of the fact they made light of what God had to say. And now God's making light of what they've got to say. They refused to hear him, refused to believe him. And now when they called upon him, he refuses to hear and believe them. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you'll find that what we've read tonight in that one passage that we use over and over again, that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, that's the proper position for praying. That's the proper attitude for praying. I'm not looking for what I want. I'm trying to find the face of God and the mind of God in this deal. And then he says, if they'll turn from sin, then, did you ever notice that? Then, you can put that in quotation mark, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, when you look into that passage, it's there, verse 15, he talked about his eyes are open and his ears attent to the prayer that's made in this place. What place is that? House of God. For now I've chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever and that mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. Now, the word perpetually, here's what it means. It means from one sunrise to the sunset, to the next sunrise, to the next sunset. That's just over and over again. And let me say to you that when you begin to look into that, is that you see the fact then, is that if you and I have come to the place to where that we've turned from our way, wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, prayer that gets the attention of God is prayer that'll turn you around and change your life. I mean, that's just it. Now, I'm not talking about a sinner getting saved. I'm talking about a saved getting back in fellowship with God. See? You ever just, you ever get to the place in life to where, you know, you think, well, I didn't read my Bible today. Let me see if I can quote a verse. I know you've never done that. Well, let's see here. I don't really feel like praying. But Lord, if I was going to pray, you know what I was going to say. It's that same prayer that starts with, now lay me down to sleep. I don't know what God thinks about us, but sometime when we're looking at it like that right there, it can't be much. He can't think much about us. I tell you what he does look at, and I tell you what he does care about. He cares about how you and I are in tune with this book that he's written and his house, which is the house of God. And did you know that he said that my ears open to the people down at the house of God? Did you know he said my eyes down there perpetually down at the house of God? Did you know that? Listen, I wonder when God looks down and we're not down here at the house of God. And I'm not talking about when we're providentially hindered. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about, buddy, when there's things that come up and so forth and on that every now and again, we may be out of town. We got a family that was out of town here the other day, and when the guy got up loud blasting the King James Bible, they went to church there. They just got up and walked out on him. That's what they ought to do. Whenever God looks down at the house of God, he's wondering how we respond. I remember one time years ago, I was in Galveston, my wife and I can't remember how long ago it's been. All the kids were still little. None of them were married. And we went over there to a church, supposed to have been a reputable Baptist church, supposed to have been an independent Baptist church. And they had some kind of a woman song leader. And I wish they'd have let her preach, because she was so much better than the preacher was and had more life than that deadhead of a preacher. But I wouldn't have known it if she got to preach, because we got up and I said, come on, let's go. We just got up and walked on out. See? I got to say to you that, if you will, without causing a disturbance, without trying to get everybody's attention, but I mean, there's just sometimes you just have to dismiss yourself, see? And as a result of that, God is looking, and when he looks at your house and he looks at our house and he looks at his house, he sees you and I and how we respond to whatever's going on for his glory and for his honor. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our Father, we thank you for loving us even while we've been unlovable. Our God, beside thee there is none else. I pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. There may be a man, a woman, a boy, a girl that needs to know thee in the free pardon of sin. May you trouble them upon their bed till they find peace with thee. Bless, I pray now, the remainder of this week. Help us, Lord, to be able to do that which will please and magnify thee. May we use our lip in life to be able to promote Christ to others round about us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.